We are happy to have this morning State Senator Gail Manning stopping by. This is part of your area, the district.
It is. Right? I have all of Lorain County and all of Huron County.
And I was looking at your Facebook page. You seem to have a lot of fun as a state senator. Here you are with a bunch of kids reenacting the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's funeral procession.
Yes.
They're all dressed up there. You congratulate local athletes on some of their accomplishments. This is Nikki Schroeder, the number one golfer in the state.
Yeah.
You had that as well. A little bit of the Elyria firefighters coming through.
They came down Wednesday morning, I believe it was, or Wednesday afternoon. They stopped by.
Well, there you are announcing jobs. So that's another important part of that, too.
That is. Yeah, it is. It's fun to be down here, but tell you the truth, I'd much rather be back in the district. Yeah. So this is a lot more fun.
Why did the firefighters come down?
Firefighters, they usually have an annual time that they came down, and they were talking about a couple of Senate bills that are out there that Senator Patton is sponsoring, and one is to give a workers' comp for, I believe it's 13 different types of cancers, and so that, you know, they were coming down and telling why it was so important to vote for that, so that's why they were down there.
Things like this that get scheduled. Are you then asked to be a part of it? Who plans it? How does it all come together so that you know to show up here to be a part of this? And why are these people here? That sort of thing. What are the logistics behind that?
Well, a lot of times they have a lobbyist that will come in and make appointments for them, which makes it a little bit easier. So they'll call the offices and say, you know, we've got somebody from your district that's here. You know, can you fit them in or whatever? And you know, when you want to see somebody from the district, I always tell my staff, you know, move other things around so we can get the people in from the district. But usually somebody will make those appointments for, and they usually have an annual time that they come down, like the townships come down annually, and you get an opportunity to meet with them.
And there's always different days. Like this one here, it says today, May 5th, is National Teacher Appreciation Day. I guess it says you wrote a guest column as a former teacher.
Mm-hmm. Taught That's for 37 years.
Still close to your heart, I
guess. It is very close to my heart. Matter of fact, we met with my son, Nathan, who is now a state rep for the 55th. He and I met with teachers and superintendents and parents and from the district, from Lorain County, to talk to them about what they thought of some of the testing that's going on and ways that we can improve upon that. So I think it's very important to talk to local people.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Testing, education. Okay. Yesterday, there was the second annual Lorain County School Superintendent Summit at Lorain County Community College. And once again, they voiced concern over how the latest testing came to be. And they certainly gave the impression that they want to be included more often in these kinds of matters.
I totally agree with them. That's why we had that meeting last night, and I do meet with the superintendents once a month. We have a great educational service here, and they meet once a month, and they always ask me to come, and I have the opportunity to hear their concerns and, you know, what they think about a bill before I vote on it. I always want to hear what the district thinks, and so they were weighing in. All we talked about last night was testing.
Do you see any changes coming
yes,
then?
Yes, I do. We've heard loud and clear that it's way too much testing, too many hours of testing. The window of testing was from February to May. They want that shortened up. Everyone has said that. We've heard that loud and clear, and it's something that we feel that we have to do. Some people would like us not to do any more state testing, but we would be losing $750 million of federal money if we choose to do that. So. Sometimes a lot of these decisions we make are tied to federal dollars.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you feel encumbered by, or I'm not sure what the right word is, but you're sort of beholden to what the federal government wants to give to the state?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we are. So, unfortunately, you know, a lot of our decisions are made because of that. And, but, you know, we can always find a balance. And that's where I feel it's very important to talk to people that are in the field. As I told them last night, I retired in 2009, and I don't feel like I'm an expert anymore. And so a lot of these legislators have never been in the classroom as a teacher or an administrator. So I think we do need to listen to our people that are experts.
You said you retired in 2009. Are you still on that same rhythm? Does this month of May, where June is creeping up, have that same sense of what it used to be like in a classroom where everybody was waiting for it to be over with, including the teachers?
Not as much, because I won't be one of those people that will be done the first part of June. But it does. You know, my sister is retiring this year from teaching in Avon Lake, and I have a daughter-in-law that's a teacher. And so, you know, I hear them talk, and I know the excitement and the kids, you know, getting extremely excited this time of year. So it's hard to teach, hard to keep them focused, but also a fun time.
So you have politics and teaching in the lineage then of people that's
oh, I sure what, do, sure
what,
do.
What, the, yeah. what they're interested. Yeah. I was looking through some of the things also that you recently involved, and one of those was the Senate Bill 7, which involves the pure caffeine powder. Mm-hmm. We're broadcasting from LaGrange,
right.
Where Logan Steiner's Keystone Eye passes away. We don't know why. You discover then there's mm-hmm. this ability to buy this pure caffeine powder, mm-hmm. which nobody really, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
How important is something like that, and how is that one of those things where you have no idea when you're first coming down into Columbus, the issue like this would come up, and mm-hmm. you have to respond?
Mm-hmm.
Again,
it's a matter of coming back to the district and talking to people in the district. And, you know, when we read about Logan Steiner, you know, everybody was just devastated. And Dr. Evans and I have worked together on the Narcan bill and Senate Bill 57. And Dr. Evans, being a coroner, is certainly about saving lives. And, you know, he and I spoke about, he had no idea, I had no idea about caffeine powder. You know, if you take more than 3/16 of a teaspoon, that's all that you're supposed to be taking in a day. So 1/16 at a time. They're figuring that maybe Logan may have taken 1 teaspoon, and that's what killed him. No one had any idea that caffeine powder, and if you buy it, you know, buy it online, it had way at the bottom. My understanding is they've started to change it. But I checked right after Logan had passed away, and it really, really small print, you could see where it says, could be fatal if taken too high of a dose. But it doesn't, you know, it was like a recommendation 1/16 at a time.
And who would think anything, yeah. just a teaspoon of anything,
yes,
could be fatal?
Absolutely. And actually, what's really frightening is Dr. Evans said, you know, we thought it was something with his heart. And it wasn't until his mother found the white powder in his bedroom and they retested it that then they did some more extensive testing on Logan to find out that he had high levels of caffeine, and that's when they realized that's what killed him.
How does something like this bill then work, or what would the law be to banning powder? Because this is things you get on the internet, you get somewhere. So how is it kind of, I mean, I guess maybe just because you can now have something that if it's discovered it can be charged, but how do you really prevent something?
That's a great question, Bruce, and something I wish they would do at the federal level. FDA has come out and warned of the dangers of it, and I know Senator Brown from Ohio has, you know, tried to, you know, had some talking points on this. But I think it's much more difficult to get it through at the national level than it is at the state level. And so when I talked to the Attorney General's office, one of the things that they said was that, you know, we have now sent a message to reputable places like Amazon. You know, if this passes, it still has to pass in the House. We passed it in the Senate. And I just gave sponsor testimony in the House. But if it passes, it sends a message to places like Amazon, do not sell this in Ohio. And one of the other concerns they may have is they could lose their insurance if they are selling it in Ohio. So all we want to do is send that message out here, do not sell it, and hopefully someday at the national level they will ban it.
Do you know what other 50 states are?
I'm not aware of any.
Works?
I know that there was a young man that passed away in one of the southern states, and when I talked with Mr. and Mrs. Steiner, they had met with him in Washington, D.C., and I don't think they had anything moving as quickly as we did here, but I'm not aware of any. But hopefully other states will look at this and be aware of
it. It's a lot of out of awareness, and many times I would assume if one state does something, which gets mm-hmm. headlines, news, mm-hmm. other legislators read about this,
mm-hmm.
maybe then stories that were unknown before come out, and then there's a little bit of a snowball effect
mm-hmm.
that takes place.
I think you're right, because this did go nationally after Logan died, and you know, you saw it on a lot of the national, I know Mr. and Mrs. Steiner have been, you know, talking to a lot of the national press, so.
So you're back in the district now for the weekend, or
I usually get back. I usually leave Thursday morning, and I always drive through LaGrange. I was just talking with the police officers over there and explained to them that I always drive down 301 to 71. It's just a pretty drive, and I think it's a little less traffic than 83. And so I pass through LaGrange all the time. And Tuesday morning, I usually get down there by 9:30. So I leave home about 6:45. And then I usually get back Thursday evening, you know, somewhere around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then, you know, Friday through Monday, you know, sometimes I do things in the district, and sometimes I just do things with family and friends.
Do you have a large briefcase? Is your trunk filled with all of your stuff, or is everything kind of digitized so that if you forgot something in Columbus, somehow you
don't want to go out and look at my car, right? My car is a wreck. And actually, I do graduation letters to all the graduating seniors, so I have boxes of these letters, because I usually, if I'm down in an area like this, I drop them off rather than having to send them in the mail.
Wow.
So I've got boxes of these down there. So that's what I'll be doing today.
Isn't that a nice thing to do?
And then I'm speaking to a senior ladies group in Avon this afternoon, and doing some other. On Sunday we're doing an Eagle Scout ceremony. I'm going to take a proclamation to them. So, you know, there's different things going on. Monday, I'm on the Turnpike Commission. So Monday, I will be at the Turnpike Commission for their meeting. And while I'm out there in Berea, I'll stop at Columbia Station and some of the other areas dropping off those graduation letters.
Wow. What might come up at a Turnpike Commission meeting?
They talk a lot about some of the where the money is being spent. That's what most of it is. Then they always have a trooper that always talks about the accidents and why they think the accidents were caused, and then they also talk about how much traffic is on the turnpike and the safety of the turnpike. So those are most of the things. They're usually about an hour to 2 hours long.
I was talking to Brian Neubacher, a spokesman for the Turnpike Commission, about a week or so ago, and he was telling me the road projects on the turnpike this year probably at the highest level in 10 years or so, at least.
Yeah, well, we have a turnpike that's, aging, like the rest of us, I guess. And,
is it like 50-some years? Or
yes.
Is it
and so there's different parts of the road that need to be replaced, and so they're replacing different lanes. And, so those are some of the things that they discuss, and they talk about the bidding process. So I've learned a lot, I'll tell you, as a third-grade teacher.
Did they ever talk about the lines at the rest stops, at those food places?
What are you talking about?
There's always lines at those places. I'm stopping to pick up.
That's great. They're being used.
Well, yes,
they?
So sure. Okay, there's the other side of
they're
it.
They're spending money
hey,
in Ohio.
I paid to be on this road. I want my first place in line.
We should have an Ohio card that we can go to the front
sure.
of the line.
Or a call
we?
Ahead kind of a thing. I'll be coming up there in just a little bit, or the next 10 miles, wherever you're going to be. Well, you do a lot of traveling, obviously.
I do. I used to be, when I taught, I was 5 minutes from work. And now I'm 2.5 hours when I have to drive to Columbus. So, and an hour and a half from the farthest part of my district, you know, from my home to the farthest part when I go out to Willard or Bellevue or Monroeville out there. It takes me a good hour and a half to get out there. So,
what have you learned about that area that's sort of different? Because you were pretty much centered in North Ridgeville for many years.
I was, yeah.
In the Lorain County. And even when you get into those other counties, even though they're sort of a similar rural type of thing, it is kind of a different place.
It is. It is. Norwalk is a beautiful downtown area, and they've done a great job of keeping it, you know, pretty vibrant. But if you go out to Willard, they have some of the largest vegetable farms out there. And so, and of course, one of the problems that they're having is finding enough people that will pick the crops for them. And, they've got some Burma farms out there. I've met with them, and, you know, they've had people out there. It's like over 100 years old, this farm, and great difficulty finding people to pick. And, that is a cause of concern. You know, you begin to wonder, is it worth it to keep it going? So, or do you have to, you know, make your farm smaller? But I think we all want to buy our fruits and vegetables locally. You know, we don't want to be buying them from other countries. We want to buy them from the United States, or even better yet, Ohio. So.
Right. Nothing like a vegetable that doesn't have, you know, only traveled 20 miles as
yes.
opposed to 200 miles.
It certainly has more taste,
absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We appreciate you stopping in.
I appreciate you having me, Bruce and Craig.
Conversation with Gail Manning, State Senator, joining us this morning.